Samuel 28:7. Then said Saul unto his servant, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I might go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up to thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel.
The name of my sermon today is The Spirit at Endor. Some people have taken the position that the real Samuel appeared to King Saul in the cave at Endor, but the Bible gives us grounds for a contrary conclusion. One thing you can do, yes, is turn to other parts of the Bible and show someone what God's word says about the state of the dead. However, we do need to be able to go back and explain what really happened in the cave at Endor. The first thing I want you to know is we will not do a complete study on the state of the dead. We'll just do a short review. The psalmist says to us, the psalmist says to the Lord specifically, Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So death is plainly defined as sleep in Psalm 13:3. And of course, when a person is asleep, they're unconscious. They don't know what's going on around them. And so it is with those who are dead. Let us turn in our Bibles together to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, starting with verse 5. We'll read 5, 6, and 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, starting with verse 5. The wise man tells us, For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. That's because they're asleep. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, that means their own memory is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Notice the ending of verse 6 tells us plainly that the dead have no more involvement in anything going on this earth. Not only that, it says at the end of verse 5, the memory of them is forgotten. And then the wise man breaks it down. Their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. To sum that up, that refers to their thoughts and feelings. The psalmist sums that all up. He says, His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. That's Psalm 146:4. Now in the same chapter, Ecclesiastes 9, let's read verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whither thou goest, of course, is an archaic way of saying where you go. So the grave is where you go when you're dead. You don't go anywhere else. And you don't know anything. You're asleep. Your thoughts have perished. Let's turn together in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2, starting with verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 2, starting with verse 1. David speaks to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2, starting with verse 1. It reads, Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. We'll stop right there. Notice what he told Solomon. Well, first of all, it said in verse 1, he should die. He told Solomon in verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. Keep that thought in your mind. The way of the earth. He's not going anywhere else. Just as he said in Psalm 146:4, he returneth to his earth. Then it says in the same chapter, verse 10, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The Apostle Peter tells us David is not ascended into the heavens. That's Acts 2:34. In that same chapter, in verse 29, Peter says David is both dead and buried. So again, the dead are just that. They're dead and buried. They're asleep. They know nothing. The righteous dead are waiting for Jesus to come again to resurrect them. Now, we remember when Saul went to the cave, he met with a witch, asked her to bring him up Samuel. So we need to know, what does the Bible say about witches or the use of magic or sorcery? Let's turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We'll read verse 31. It reads in Leviticus 19:31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Notice it says to have no regard for them. In other words, if you know that someone today is into modern sorcery, or as some call it, white magic, which is a rubbish term. It's trying to make magic something mild, something nice. Don't have any regard for them. Have nothing to do with them. And it says, don't seek after them. Don't go to them. It's just like when Jesus warns us against the false Christ and false prophets. He says, don't believe what they say. And we know that when the Lord comes, he comes in the clouds. He comes in the air. He says, if you hear that Christ is here or Christ is there, don't go there. Don't believe it. And the Bible tells us to do the same when it comes to wizards or anyone who practices magic or witchcraft. Don't go to them. In the same book, let's go to chapter 20, the very next chapter, and we'll read verses 6 and 27. It gives us a serious warning. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. That's a very serious warning, friends. That's how much God wants us to stay away from such. It'll get you cut off. And we'll see an example of that today. And then in the same chapter, verse 27, it reads, a man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. One thing to keep in mind, friends, even though we as a church do not stone people to death, we still cannot allow such in the church. And we need to remember that those who practice witchcraft, sorcery, whatever you want to call it, God will judge. And we'll see that later too. God also said to the Israelites, thou shalt not suffer, meaning allow, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, Exodus 22:18. So now let us turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28. We'll start with verse 3. Chapter 28. Starting with verse 3, it reads, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." Well, praise God for that. He did the right thing there. At that point, he did do the right thing. He put away those that had familiar spirits. He knew what the law of Moses said. Continuing, verse 4. "And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled." And it says in verse 6, And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Let's stop there for a moment. Neither by dreams. Let me talk for a moment about King Saul. King Saul had the potential to be an excellent king for the Israelites. God chose him. God would not have chosen him if the potential were not there. He received the Holy Spirit when he was chosen to be king. God provided him with the prophet Samuel. In other words, anytime Saul wanted to know something revealed of God, he could have gone to Samuel. I'm sure if Mrs. White were alive today, people would be grilling her left and right. What were you told? But friends, Saul had the chance to talk to Samuel. And all he wanted and asked, "What has the Lord revealed to you about this or about that?" Unfortunately, he didn't take it. There were times when he was told what the Lord had said, and he refused to believe it. King Saul, at one point, offered a sacrifice, something he had no authority to do. That was the first cutoff point. He was told that another would receive his kingdom. The kingdom would be taken from his house, he was told. But Saul still could have repented of his sins. Later, the Lord gave him another command. He said, "Destroy the Amalekites." He said to destroy them and to destroy their livestock. But instead of doing exactly what God commanded, he decided, "I'll bring some of their livestock back with me and offer it as sacrifices to God." God did not say that. He did not accept that. And after the custom of other nations, he brought their king captive. God didn't want him to do that either. So that was another cutoff point. The kingdom would be taken from his house and given to another. But again, Saul still could have repented of his sins. It says, neither by dreams. Well, why should the Lord have communicated with Saul by dreams? He was trying to hunt down the Lord's servant David and kill him. Nor by Urim. Let's stop there for a moment. Urim. The Urim and the Thummim were two stones placed in the breastplate worn by the high priest. And whenever an inquiry was made of the Lord through the high priest or by the high priest, light would shine around the stone that was on the right side if the answer were yes. But if the answer were no, a cloud would shadow the stone that was on the left side. The Urim and the Thummim. So when it says, nor by Urim, that means by high priest. The Lord did not communicate with Saul by high priest. And why should he have? King Saul had the Lord's high priest Ahimelech killed. And then, nor by prophets. There were times when Samuel gave him prophetic guidance, but he rejected it. And now at this point, Samuel is dead. So King Saul decides to find a solution. Verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." One thing I want us to keep in mind, friends, is that when we read the story of King Saul, or any person mentioned in the Bible who dies lost, is that we need to learn from their story. This could have been one of us if we had been in his place. Verse 8, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. I want to stop right there for a moment. As we read this chapter, we'll come across the word gods. One thing I want to mention is that word. Now, in English today, we use it to mean a supreme being, the word God. But God, or gods in plural, in older English and in ancient Hebrew, could refer to judges, magistrates, rulers, or mighty ones. Now, what meaning the witch had in mind, I don't know. I just thought I'd mention that as food for thought. Let's continue, verse 9. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. She doesn't know who he is yet. How he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord. A blasphemous act, friends. The Lord said, Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. He says again, verse 10, And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Now she knows. It's him. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Let's stop right there for a moment. She sees this form, which appears to be Samuel, coming up where? Out of the earth. If Samuel had died and gone to heaven, would he not have come down from heaven instead of coming up out of the earth? Yes. So he's coming up out, this form is coming up out of the earth. Let's continue. Verse 15. We'll go all the way to verse 20. But it says, And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Notice, this form appeared so much, looked so much like the real Samuel, that Saul thought it was really him. He was convinced it was him he was talking to. That's how much these familiar spirits are able to imitate people. We need to remember that. One of my friends told me that after his mother passed away, one of his family members came to him and said, I spoke to your mother, meaning through a spiritualist medium. He said, No, you did not. You talked to the devil. Let's continue. Verse 16. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? One thing I also want to mention about verse 15 is that it says, The form asks, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? So again, if Samuel had died and gone to heaven, he would not have been brought up from the earth. He would have been brought down from heaven. That's one thing. But he asked, Why have you disquieted me? In other words, brought me out of my sleep. If you're brought down from heaven, you'd be anything but disquieted. You'd be brought up back to this dark world from hearing all the wonderful heavenly melodies and voices shouting and offering praises to God. This cannot be a case where Samuel came from heaven to speak to Saul. But notice, he's speaking words of discouragement and despair in verse 16. Continuing, verse 17. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me, meaning dead. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. God doesn't work that way, friends. He doesn't work through speaking words of discouragement and despair. God does give warnings. But this familiar spirit is simply, again, speaking words of discouragement and despair, telling Saul, it's the end for you. The tragic truth is that it was the end for him. This was his final cutoff point. We'll see that as we go along. Verse 20, then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. So that was the end for King Saul. As you might know, he and his men went into battle. They were defeated, and King Saul committed suicide. But again, the Lord would not, that's not the way the Lord works. He would not have spoken such words, again, of discouragement and despair. The Apostle Peter tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering means patient. Patient toward us, that all should come to repentance. Did that not include King Saul? Of course. He loved him just as much as he loves each of us. But Saul disobeyed the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 10, 13, and 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, 13 and 14. Chapter 10, 13 and 14. First Chronicles 10, again, 13, 14. It reads, so Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So the words of that familiar spirit were not a message from God. And by inquiring of that familiar spirit, he was not inquiring of the Lord. Now, friends, think about this. If he were speaking to the real Samuel, would he not have been receiving counsel from the Lord through his holy prophet? If it were really Samuel, yes. But it was not him. It was not him. It says Saul died for his transgression. That's another name for sin. 1 John 3:4 tells us, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Saul died for his transgression. Let us turn together. We'll turn to five more places in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15. All the rest are in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul says to us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? In other words, God's people have no part with unbelievers. We're not to be their enemies. Yes, we are to be witnesses unto them, but we have no part in what they do. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Friends, God never collaborates with Satan. God does not communicate with us through Satan's methods or Satan's channels. If one goes to a spiritualist medium or to a witch, whichever you want to call it, you're not communicating with God. Let us turn to 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. It reads, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. All right, 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Those who believe in immortality of the soul believe a doctrine of devils. Those who believe that they're communicating with God through spiritualist mediums are believing doctrines of devils. They're giving heed to seducing spirits. Let us turn to Revelation. The rest of our verses we're turning to together in Revelation. We'll turn to chapter 16, verse 14. It reads in Revelation 16, 14, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Let's stop right there. Interestingly enough, Saul was a king. A devil talked to Saul in that cave at Endor. Devils continue to talk to people of renown today. Spirits of devils they talk to when they think of when they think they're talking to deceased people. And then let's turn to chapter 22 of Revelation. So Saul, King Saul, did not speak to Samuel again. He spoke to either Satan himself or one of his devils. And that's what we need to be careful. That's another reason to be careful, because those devils are capable of impersonating someone so well that if we go to them, we ourselves might be fooled. Revelation 22, 14 and 15. As mentioned earlier, we don't stone people today, but there is a final fate for those who summon familiar spirits. Revelation 22, 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the city, through the gates into the city. For thou, meaning outside the city, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whatsoever loveth and maketh a lie. Keep in mind, immortality of the soul is a lie, and sorcerers do not enter the holy city. Chapter 21, verses 8 and 27. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and there you have it again, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise, speaking of the holy city, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I do hope and pray, friends, that each one of us will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some of you have heard me more than once mention Lilydale, New York. If you don't know what that is, Lilydale is a small community, about 20 minutes from my hometown of Brockton. But in Lilydale, there is a spiritualist assembly. I've never visited that spiritualist assembly. That spiritualist assembly has never been a problem for me. It's never troubled me. Why? Because I never go there. Remember, the Lord said not to go to those people. You don't go to those people, you're fine. I love the simplicity of the remedy God has given us. It makes me think of long ago when an athlete told his doctor that he complained to his doctor that there was a spot that hurt if he pressed too hard on it or turned a certain way. And the doctor simply ordered him, stop doing that. And it's the same way with witches and sorcerers. All we have to do is stay away from them. Praise God. That's all we have to do. We need not be deceived. God's word has told us the truth about summoning familiar spirits. And all we have to do is follow his simple instructions and claim his promises. The psalmist tells us, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalm 89:18 says, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for giving us another day of life. We thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. And we pray that your Spirit will continue to teach us, comfort us, and guide us, and to remind us of the things that we have learned from your holy word. And we pray that you'll continue to encourage us to obey you, and we thank you so much for the instruction you have given us, and we thank you so much for the angels protecting us, again for sending the Holy Ghost to us, and we thank you for your holy scriptures, and most of all, we thank you and praise you for the great sacrifice of your Son, our Lord Jesus, in whom we have the hope of eternal salvation. And we pray that you will be with us and keep us through the rest of this blessed Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen.